Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift for us to gather together for this first Sunday in Lent. And if you were able to make it to our joint Ash Wednesday service this past week with our neighbors from Greystone Presbyterian, then you know that Lent is my favorite season of the church year. It's a time to begin again. It's a season of fasting and prayer and repentance and contemplation that seeks to nourish and grow our faith as the community of faith together approaches the celebration of Easter together. It's a time to be renewed and refilled with humility and openness and the awe of the resurrection mystery. And as we turn to these readings for today, before we do, I want us to pray together and ask God that as we read Scripture together, God might speak to us. Let's pray. Holy God, reveal your presence to us this day as we journey this path with your Son. Through all of life's trials and tribulations, your word sustains us for the journey ahead. Send your Spirit upon us that we might listen, discern, and take heart. Be near us this day, and may your word dwell with and within us forevermore. Amen. Each year on the first Sunday in Lent, the gospel text is always about the temptation of Christ in the desert. And since we are in the Gospel of Mark this year, in typical Mark fashion, this Mark writes very tersely. And so Mark's whole story of Jesus' temptation is two verses. So since we have the time, I thought we would read those two verses together. Mark really wants us to focus on two things, it seems like to me, in these two verses. One, that sometimes it is the Spirit that leads us into uncomfortable places. And perhaps that's because discomfort can prepare us and grow our strength. And two, that when we get to those uncomfortable places, we are not there alone. We are tended to and cared for by God, even in those wilderness places. Here's Mark's passage on Jesus' temptation. Let's listen together for God's word in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels served him. God bless the reading and hearing of Holy Scripture. Our psalm reading today are the first 10 verses of Psalm 25, and so as we read them together, let's listen to this psalm for how it might connect with the way that you're feeling. Or maybe, if not a way you're feeling, perhaps it might bring someone to mind in your life who might be feeling this way. Or perhaps even we might hear this psalm as something Jesus may have prayed himself as he was fasting in the desert. Let's hear together Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O God, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions, but according to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast, love, and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. Amen. And finally, our primary reading for today, the one I want us to kind of focus on together, comes from the primeval history that opens the book of Genesis. The first 11 chapters or so of the book of the Hebrew Bible, these stories offer a unique perspective on how ancient Israel's conception of God grew and developed. And it grew and developed alongside other ancient cultures, both differentiating them from their neighbors and developing monotheism at a time when such a concept was still centuries away, and where the written word itself was a distant luxury reserved for kings and their courts. Our passage today is the conclusion of one of these ancient stories. It's an ancient story that was shared by multiple cultures in the area, the story of a flood, of a great flood that happened. The Babylonians and the Egyptians and others all had flood stories that were shared in their own languages and locations. But we focus here on this section of our reading for today is one that sets the one that's in our Bible apart from all those others. None of those others have this ending here, this covenant between God and God's people. And so, let's listen together for God's word to us. In the book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with y'all and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, every creature of the earth. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? It is not a word that we hear all too often anymore. And the question may sound basic. Maybe that sounds really obvious to you. Maybe you know exactly what a covenant is, but I think it's worth asking ourselves what it is that God is doing here. This is the first time in Scripture that God makes a covenant with anyone or anything. A covenant is normally an agreement between two neighbors or two people or two nations that says, "I'm going to do this and you're going to do that." And God here makes a covenant with, as I think you heard about a dozen times in that reading, with every creature that is on the earth. It's a repeated phrase there in that passage. So it's a covenant between God and every person and everything. And now that is pretty radical, considering what usually comes to mind when we think of a covenant. Because a covenant is, at least in theory, an agreement between two parties.